Earth and Sky.
One of the most important things about exploring space is that it is something that sets us apart in this time, that makes history for our nation and for our society in a way that few other things do.
You're listening to planetary scientist Alan Stern of the Southwest Research Institute, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Stern is principal investigator of the New Horizons mission to explore Pluto, and he's been a leading scientist with NASA in guiding their research. Stern spoke more about the future of human spaceflight and about whether Pluto really is a planet with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Stern, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about human spaceflight. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the first human steps on the moon. Tell us your thoughts on human spaceflight today.
Well, human spaceflight is a 50-year-old enterprise. You know, the Apollo landings, as you say, were 40 years ago. The first human spaceflights were in 1961. So the year after next, that'll be 50 years. And some spectacular achievements. But really, since the Apollo moon landings, although the shuttle itself is an amazing achievement, so is space station, really, I think there's a pretty broad consensus that the government-led efforts have been limited, I should say, by external factors, and that we could be doing so much more.
Tell us your thoughts on the goals of the U.S. regarding human spaceflight.
Well, I'd like to see the United States go back to exploration of the planets with human beings, because human beings are much more efficient than the robots. Now, the robots can go much farther afield. The robots can go into toxic environments where humans can't go. But for doing field work on the moon, for exploring Mars, the kind of things that we do with robots are pretty limiting. It's been said that the Mars rovers that have been on Mars since 2004, five and a half, going on 6 years, I've done about as much work as a single two-man Apollo crew would do in a day.
We've been talking about a human exploration of space, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about your project that is exploring the outer reaches of our solar system. Tell us more about that, please.
Yeah, so I'm leading a project called New Horizons, which we launched in 2006. It's a little small robotic spacecraft that's making its way across the entire expanse of the solar system to explore Pluto and the Kuiper Belt in 2015.
And why are we sending a spacecraft to the outer reaches of our solar system, Pluto, the Kuiper Belt? What's out there?
Well, you know, we've had a revolution in my field in planetary science. When I was a kid, and I think probably most of your listeners, as children, you learned that the solar system consisted of four rocky terrestrial planets, four gas giants, and that little misfit Pluto. But with the advance of technology, we've discovered actually that Pluto is just the first and the brightest of a large population of small planets called dwarf planets that have been discovered since the mid-1990s. In fact, it's thought that there may be as many as 1,000 Pluto-like planets in the solar system. So in fact, the whole equation has been turned upside down. It's not that Pluto's the misfit. It's the four terrestrial planets like the Earth that are the misfit. Pluto's the norm. And yet we've never sent a spacecraft to this most populous class of planet in our solar system. And that's what New Horizons is doing.
And I understand you just referred to Pluto as a planet. There's been a bit of a controversy regarding Pluto's status as a planet.
Science does not work by decree or dogma. Science works a very different way. Science doesn't work by voting. If an august body of scientists got together and all voted unanimously that the sky is now green, that wouldn't make it so, because voting is irrelevant in science. In fact, science works through a process of successive approximation. I told the story a little bit earlier that our whole view of the solar system, of its architecture, was turned upside down in the 1990s when we discovered this plethora of Pluto-like planets and the fact that it's the Earth that's the misfit. Well, that's jarring, and for some people, they just couldn't handle it. Some scientists said, well, too many planets. I don't think I can remember all the names of those. We just have to stop. We have to find some way of limiting the number of planets. You know, I don't like that way of approaching science, and many don't. You know, this is the 400th year of Galileo's telescope. I imagine that there must have been at the time someone who said, or maybe an August body in the early 17th century that said, you know, all those uncountable numbers of stars the new telescope can see, we're not going to be able to deal with that. So we won't call those stars either. But in fact, they are stars. And in fact, Pluto and its cohort are planets. They have all the attributes of planets. Let me give you some examples. They have cores. They have geology. They have seasons and atmospheres. They have clouds. They have polar caps in many cases. They have moons. I can't think of a single distinguishing characteristic that would set apart Pluto and other things that you call a planet, other than its size. So I like to say, you know, a chihuahua is still a dog.
Well, Dr. Stern, I appreciate you taking this time out to speak with us today. And one last question. What is the most important thing that you want people to know today about exploring space?
I think that the most important, one of the most important things about exploring space is that it is something that sets us apart in this time, that makes history for our nation and for our society in a way that few other things do. You know, I like to ask people what they remember from the 15th century, and usually I find that people answer the voyages of Columbus. And if you ask people to name other events in the 15th century, they're usually stumped. And even if you ask them to name individuals in the 15th century, if they're not historians, for example, after Columbus, they might name Ferdinand and Isabella, the people who funded Columbus. And I think something similar is true in this century. I think these voyages of exploration, for example, Apollo, will stand out in 1,000 years as an epical moment of what human beings did in the 20th century. This is really the legacy that we leave to future generations, and it's also the gateway to what I hope is a very vibrant economy in space, the same way that people were able to take advantage of the New World in the Americas and really make a better life for everyone on Earth in the end as a result of the flowering of democracy, the flowering of technology that came with some of those nations, and the general expansion of scientific knowledge. This led us to a much better quality of living for all of us.
You've been listening to Dr. Alan Stern. He's principal investigator of the New Horizons mission to explore Pluto and a longtime NASA research leader. He's also associate vice president of the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.